How's everyone doing this morning?
Good.
All right. Yeah, piece of the glass. I know. Urban Mission Healing Center. That's the word that I heard over this place several years ago. And every time I come here, I say that same thing over because I'm declaring it over this house. And I just feel like you're walking in a measure of this, but that you're going to be walking in a greater measure. Okay? And when we talk about healing center, I just feel like this is just not physical healing, but you know, when the Lord said, go, your faith has made you whole, it wasn't just talking about the physical healing, it was talking about the complete person, right? Spirit, soul, and body. So this morning, I just have a word in my heart that it just feels like something that's been burning in my heart for the longest time. And you know, how many know that sometimes there's a word for the moment and there's a word for a season? And I just feel like this has been a seasonal word for me. And every time I move on and I get other words from the Lord, I just feel like the Lord keeps bringing this word back to me. So we're going to stand up together just in reverence and honor to the word of God and to the Lord. And we're going to read in two different places. And first in Mark chapter 7, it's the same portion found in two different Gospels. Mark 7:24. And then we're going to switch over to Matthew 15:21. First in Mark 7, verse 24. And this, is the King James Version, so it's a sanctified version, I think, right? Yeah. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. He entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she sought him that he would cast out the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go your way, the devil is gone out of your daughter. And when she had come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. And I'm just going to switch over into Matthew 15. It's the same story described by Matthew in 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and sought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but to the lost house of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And then Jesus answered and said to her, woman, great is your faith, be it to you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord, which is sharp, is alive. Yeah. We just pray, Lord, that it would be Holy Spirit this morning that would break the bread, oh God. Lord, we need a word that comes from above, Lord, and not from our own earthly mindset, oh Lord God, because we know that the word that touches, that reaches them, that is in my mind will only touch a mind, but if it's birthed in our heart, it touches hearts, oh Lord God. So we ask for something, Lord, to be birthed this morning, Father, in my heart, oh Lord God, and that, Lord, it would just set off a birth and an explosion in every heart here this morning, oh Lord God. We thank you for these things because this is all possible through your son, Jesus. Amen and amen. You might all be seated. I was just reflecting on these words and just something that the Lord was impressing on my heart is about how Christ is the high water mark that we are all striving to achieve, right? Holy Spirit says that he is transforming us into the image of his son Jesus. You know, and as I was thinking about Christ as the watermark that we are striving for, you know, in scriptures there were times where it said that they were accused of having been with Jesus. And I tell you, that rocks me, because I ask myself the question, how many times have I been accused of having been with Jesus? You know, does my language sound like him? Do my actions look like his? Do my thoughts look like and sound like the thoughts of the Lord? Well, you know what? This is not to discourage us, but to let us all know this morning it is possible, because that's why we have Holy Spirit living and dwelling in each and every one of us, okay? So, you know what? This is what we are desiring and maybe perspiring to look like. But when we look at the life of Jesus, you know, I would say that his life was very magnetic, okay? You think about the life of Christ. He drew people to himself. He drew power to himself. He drew favor from God and from man to himself. And I want us, when I started to even think about that word magnetic, I want us to just think for a moment about a magnet, okay? Because a magnet, you know, I'm trying not to get too scientific here, but a magnet has lines of order, if I can say it that way, that flow from one end to the other of the magnet. And that's what gives it its properties. That's what gives it is its attraction. But, you know, there's something interesting about that, is that you can cause a magnet to lose its magnetism. And the way that you can do that is by hammering it. And when you hammer a magnet, it causes the lines that I spoke about to become in disarray, to become disorganized. And we know that God is not an order, a God of chaos, but a God of order, okay? And when I was thinking about that hammering, okay, the Spirit was just letting me know that that's what happens to us when we believe the lies of the enemy, that we have a magnetic life because of the life of Christ that dwells in us. But when your thoughts don't line up with the thoughts of God, don't line up with what the scriptures say, and that's like a hammering that is happening in our thought life, and we start to lose, I'll just say, our magnetism, so to speak. But good news is, a magnet that has lost its magnetism can regain its magnetism. Isn't that great? You know how that happens? You bring it back into the presence of a natural occurring magnet, and the lines begin to reorder themselves. Well, when you bring yourself back into the presence of God and into the alignment with what the Word of God says, and then your thought patterns start to line up with what the Word of God says, guess what? You start to have that magnetic life again. Amen? Who wants that? I want that. I want that. Amen? When you start thinking about and start declaring, you know what? I am a child of God. I am washed in the blood. These are the thought patterns that we need to have. You know, I am above and not below. I walk in prosperity, and that the blessings of God overtake me, and that everywhere I step foot, I bring revival and I bring healing. I am a healing, miracle-working person because Holy Spirit dwells in me. Those are the thoughts that God has about you and me this morning. This is what the Word of God declares about us this morning. You guys are magnetic this morning. I could just see it, that magnetic attraction. Thank you, Lord, for that. You know what? This morning, just the word that that was really just kind of stirring and burning in my heart that we read is really about hungering for his presence, right? I mean, that's a theme that probably never gets old, but hungering for his presence. And if I had a gauge that could somehow, we could somehow clip onto you, it was like a hunger gauge, right? Where would we read this morning? Where would you and I read this morning? How many have come here this morning just saying, you know, Lord, just like David, Lord, as the deer pants after the brook, My heart is panting after you this morning. How many of us have come here with that desire, with that deep affection this morning, that, Lord, I need you. I need more of you. I thank you for what I got yesterday. Thank you for the measure I received yesterday, but I need more today. How many of us need more of his presence in our life today? Amen? I do. You know what's interesting? It seems like hungry people seem to gather and draw other hungry people. You ever notice that? Right? I must have said something good. I don't know. But that's right. That is exactly right. Right? But you want to know something else? Hungry people make satisfied people uncomfortable. Do you ever remember? I got to tell you, when I used to see, you know, I used to always see these programs on TV, these little infomercials about people who are starving all over the world, and like they look emaciated. How many people felt comfortable watching starving people around the world? It got to a point where it's like, I can't watch that anymore, right? Hungry people make satisfied people feel uncomfortable. Amen? It is true. That's right. You know, it says that also that hunger attracts the presence of the Lord. That's why it's so important. In Psalms 107, it says, he satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. We sang about he is good. When we talk about he fills the soul with goodness, we might start to think about the material things, but he is good. And so I think we need to just substitute that and just say that he fills the soul that is hungry with himself. Amen? Because everything that we need, every provision, body, soul, and spirit, flows out of the provision of the Lord. Amen? So you know what? When you're hungry, and I know this for myself, I know this for family members, but when you're really, really hungry, your body starts to give you some signals, doesn't it? We all have different signs that our body gives us. I mean, I start to get like just, I feel like pain, you know, like for me, it's pain, you know, for others, it's the shakes, for others, it's whatever. And everybody has a sign, dizziness. We all have a sign. And I really believe, right, that the physical is kind of a representation of what's in the spirit, right? In our spirit, right? The word of God says, as deep calls to deep, so does the spirit call unto the spirit, right? Our spirit lets us know and gives us signals when there's something that is missing, okay? If this doesn't work, tell me. When something is missing, that we're hungry in a spirit, that we need more. Our spirit man gives us signals that we need more. And this is just another thing that I was, I guess maybe it was Holy Spirit helping me to understand that, you know, you can be hungry or you could be satisfied, okay? And like maybe it wasn't that long ago, you know, that maybe you had something to eat and you walk into a restaurant or, you know, in my case, it's like walk into our kitchen and, you know, Anna's making a phenomenal sauce for pasta and, like all of a sudden you were okay a few minutes ago and now it's like, oh my goodness, I feel so hungry, right? You walk past a restaurant and you get the whiff of the food in the kitchen. And it's like, oh my goodness, I just feel so hungry all of a sudden, right? But that's what I just feel like this morning. Like as God is breaking the bread this morning, good baked Italian bread, John, that we get a whiff this morning, okay? And that maybe we were not feeling like, you know, I had that hunger, I felt satisfied, but all of a sudden, I start to feel something stirring in me saying, I'm just hungry for more. I'm just hungry for more of his presence this morning. Amen? John the Baptist, he even said to his disciples, Jesus was there in the Jordan. He said, behold the Lamb of God. And when he said this, the Bible says that his disciples, they walked away and they started to follow Jesus. And I thought it was interesting, as they were walking around and following Jesus that day, that they then asked him a question later on. And the question wasn't around, you know, where's your place of employment? It wasn't around, hey, what synagogue do you attend? It was, where do you live? Where do you abide? Where is your dwelling place? You see, because it's where a person lives and abides when you're invited into that, I'll say, inner sanctum, is where you have closer intimacy and closer fellowship. It's one thing when a friend invites you out to a restaurant to dinner, okay? And there's a certain level of, I'll just say, communion there. But when you're invited to somebody's house to break bread together in someone's house, it's a close level of intimacy and fellowship. And this is really what the disciples were asking for when they were following Jesus and said, where do you live? It was about closer intimacy and fellowship with the Lord. In Exodus 33, you know, it speaks about how that Israel greatly displeased the Lord. And in so many ways, in so many occasions. And then it got to the point where the Lord said to Moses, who was a friend of God, he said, you know what? He said, I'm just going to send an angel before you. And the angel is going to bring you into the promised land. And he's going to take care of everything, right? And you would have thought that would have been a pretty fair exchange. I mean, how many of us would have been like, okay, that's a pretty good substitution, right? We'll get the angel in exchange for his presence. But Moses wasn't okay with that, right? He wasn't satisfied with that exchange. You know, what did he ask for? He said to the Lord, that I may know you. He said, and that your presence would go before us, right? He wasn't just concerned about the right here and now, about the next military battle, about, you know, the next feeding of the manna. He was concerned about the presence abiding with them every single moment and every single day. And it was the same thing you could say about Paul. Because after all the experiences that the Apostle Paul had, all the miracles, which were unbelievable, the revelations, which were off the charts, and he has this desire later on in his ministry where he says, that I may know you. What a desire and what a request, right? It wasn't that, can I have, you know, more power to do more miracles? It wasn't, can I have even more revelation? It was just, that I may know you. What a desire that he had. And when we read here in these two places in Mark 7 and 15, it's the same account. But what's kind of interesting here, if you read the stories and look at what happened immediately before and what happened immediately after, it's sandwiched. It's kind of captured between two stories. On the one end, we have this amazing story of the feeding of the 5,000. And on the other end of this story, you know, you have the story about, you know, Jesus walking on the sea and the deaf and the dumb who are healed. You know, we have this story about this Greek woman, it says, of Syrophoenicia. Okay, if you look just kind of on your map, I like to do that, just where these places are located. But it's out of the territory of Israel along the coast. It bordered the nation of Israel in that day. And it says that, you know, when you look at the kind of where Jesus went, his coming and goings, he would oftentimes pass through Capernaum on his way to some other place. And what was the significance of that? Well, Capernaum was his new home, his new residence, after he left Nazareth. So he would find himself constantly going through Capernaum. And you might say, what was so important or so special about Capernaum? Well, if you read in the scripture, you could see so many dynamic things were happening in the city of Capernaum. It was here where he commanded the demon to leave a person. It was here where he called many of his disciples. It was here where the four friends let the palsy down through the roof of the house and he healed them. It was here where the Roman centurion's servant was healed. And it's kind of interesting, and I think it lines up with some of what we were hearing this morning, that the actual name of the city, Capernaum, means city of comfort. Now, in that environment, with the Spirit stirring that way, and signs and wonders and miracles and so on and so forth, it would be very easy to get comfortable and to say, I'm going to hang out in Capernaum. There's a lot going on here, right? How easy it is to get comfortable when we see just a little bit of rainfall from heaven, when we see a little bit of stirring, and we could say, okay, we got it, we're there. No, it's just a taste for more to come, that what the Lord wants to do. And you look in Matthew 15, 24, and I want you to just hold on to this word, because this is really important. In verse 24, what does Jesus say? And it seems like he's actually addressing the disciples when he says this word. He says, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Think about that. These were his words. They're written in red. Jesus said, this is why I'm called. This is why I'm sent, to go to the nation of Israel. But we see here that Jesus, he takes like a detour. It looks like he's on his way to Capernaum. But then it looks like as he's on his way there, he takes a detour out of the land of Israel. But he just said, I'm not sent to the land except to the land of Israel. But he goes to Syrophoenicia, which was not a nation of Israel. They were not a people. They were not called. The word of God tells us, though, we who were not a people have been made a people. And we who have not received mercy have now received mercy. And we see that he goes into the land of Syrophoenicia here. You know, and it says he goes into their coasts, to Tyre and Sidon. And if you think about it, right, in his day, there was no Excella. There was no New Jersey Turnpike. Okay, it was, I don't know, maybe 40 or so miles away. It would have taken days for him to get there. It would have taken days for him to get back on track to where he was on his way to. And he only had 3.5 years of ministry. So those days are, out of the 3.5 years of ministry, he allocates it to go and meet with this one woman who is not from Israel, who is not a Jew. She's a Greek, the word of God says. He goes into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. It says it was a land that bordered with Galilee, and it said the news of him, the news of Jesus, could not be hid. It bordered Galilee, and I could only imagine that everything that was happening in the ministry of Jesus in Galilee, the news, however it was, there was no texting and none of this, so somehow the news made its way, right, into Phoenicia, and they heard about this Jesus, and they heard about everything that he was doing, so much so that we read here that when she has the encounter, that it was enough that she was able to declare, Son of David. That she was to say, Lord, not just Master, Lord, have mercy on me. Just from the news of what she heard. It wasn't even in the direct confrontation, sitting under the ministry of Jesus. You know, it says that he could not be hid. I just have to say that when Jesus is in the house, he cannot be hid. When he's in this house, he cannot be hid. You won't have to put on Facebook and everything else. Oh, we had a healing last night. The word will go. When he's in this house of yours, the temple, he cannot be hid. You know, it seems unusual that if he was going to go to all this trouble to leave Israel, to go into Phoenicia because of one person, right? He would go someplace that he could easily be found. But the word says, it's like he goes to a house to go hide himself. Isn't that a little bit unusual? That Jesus goes somewhere he's never been before, and he would never go again. And rather than kind of go into some public place, you know, like in some of these, I don't know if it was like some of these small Italian towns, but, you know, in these Italian, small Italian, you know, villages, paes, they have an area in the center of the city or the center of the town. It's called like the town square, right? And if you want to make yourself known, you go into the town square. Everybody knows, right? When we drove into my wife's hometown last year, we went on vacation to Italy, and we pulled and drove through into the town square because that's we were staying in a place right there in the town square. Everybody stops. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Wow, there's new people here that we've never seen before, right? It's true, no matter where you go. If you're looking to be found, then Jesus, go into the town square, but not into a home where you go and you hide yourself. But why does Jesus do all this? Why does he say, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but then he leaves Israel, and then he goes into Phoenicia? Why does he do that? Because of the hunger and desperation of one woman, one person. It's almost like he presses pause. He says, yes, I know I'm sent to Israel. I'm just going to press the pause button one moment here because the Father says, go over here. And I only do the things that I see and hear the Father doing. So I go over here because hunger attracts the presence of the Lord. When your child is hungry and crying, what does the parent do? Feeds it. It draws the attention of the parent, doesn't it? The crying is not a nuisance. It as a matter of fact, it's the heart of compassion and love of the parent. But the Word of God says that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more your Heavenly Father will give good things, will give the Holy Spirit to those that ask. We serve a good Father. We sing about it. We declare it. But the danger is that it becomes cliche. It needs to become personal. It needs to become real in your heart and in my heart this morning. So what happens here? It says he goes to a house, right? It seems like he's in, to be in secret, but it says he couldn't be hid. When we find this woman showing up to the house where Jesus is, you know, hiding, okay? We don't find anybody else at the house. We don't find a crowd of people. We don't find like, oh, there's news that Jesus is here, and all the people from all the surrounding territories come to, you know, to hear from him and to press him and touch him. We don't hear anything like this. We hear only one woman who goes and seeks out Jesus because it says he could not be hid. She left everything behind. She left her hometown behind. She left her daughter in a gravely difficult situation to go pursue and to find Jesus. And this is the picture that I see. This is what the Lord showed me. It was a picture of my son when he was maybe a year old. And we would play hide and seek. Imagine, he was only 1 year old. And I would hide in a place that was not so obvious. But I wouldn't hide in a place that a one-year-old couldn't find me, because I could have done that too, and that's not a lot of fun either. I would hide in a place where I knew if he had just put a little bit of effort into it, that he would find me. And he would go, and he would find me. And when he found me, the expression of joy and laughter beaming from ear to ear because he thought he found me. Do you get the picture here? It wasn't my son who found me. It was myself positioning myself to find him. so that I could be found of him if he would seek me and he would look for me. And I have to tell you, it is the same with our Father. The joy, the expression, if you could see it, of him celebrating when you find him. But it's really him finding you, right? We used to have those buttons. I remember when I was in grammar school, the button used to say, you know, I found it or I found him, something like that, you know. But it's really he found me and he found you. Amen. I just know that the Father, he just celebrates and rejoices and dances over you every time you in your heart, you determine and you purpose and say, I'm pursuing him. I'm hungry for him. And you find him. You look at scripture, you read scripture, and there's a revelation that you got that just explodes in your spirit, and you get so excited. And you know what? Your Father is excited. Your Heavenly Father is excited, like he's pursuing me. He's hungry after my presence. Thank you, Lord. You know, Reinhard Bonnke, you know, I love what he says when he talks about the difference between the world religions and Christianity. He says in all of the world religions, he said, man pursues God. But in the Christian faith, God pursues man. Amen? Which side would you rather be on this morning? Like, is there even a debate here? Do you want to be on the side where you're always chasing God? Or do you want to be on the side where God's chasing me? Amen. I think it's a no-brainer, but, you know, choose for yourself this morning. You know, the point is, I didn't apprehend him. He apprehended me, okay? I didn't pursue him. It was he, it was his presence that was pursuing me all along. You know, when I reflect back, even in unusual times of blessing and of favor in my own personal life, it wasn't even that I was pursuing those things. It was like favor pursued me and overtook me. It was like blessing pursued me and overtook me. I wasn't looking for those things, but it's your Father's good pleasure to give you all of those things, it says. In verse 26, it speaks about how she pleaded with him to cast the devil out from her daughter. And it seems like Jesus' response is so unexpected, and I think we heard a little bit about that this morning. It says that he doesn't answer her a word. Isn't that unusual? Doesn't that seem out of character for the Lord? You'd say, hey, surely this is a request that's in line with God's will, right? I mean, I don't think there's a debate, right? Hey, cast the devil out from my daughter. I mean, okay, I think I'm on target with that request, right? Yeah. And the Lord doesn't even answer her a word. And how many times yourself where you might be praying for some breakthrough in your own life, right? Where maybe you're battling some addiction. You might be battling pornography, and if the statistics are correct, there's at least one person here this morning that's battling pornography, at least one, right? If you're battling some other issue, if you're praying for somebody who needs healing in their body, whatever it might be, and it seems like the Lord doesn't answer a word sometimes. You ever feel that way? Ever been there? Yeah, I think maybe most, if not all of us, have been there. But I would then say the same thing that Peter said. Lord, to whom are we going to go to this morning? Where are we going to go? Who else has the words of eternal life? Yeah. Who can save the way the Lord saves this morning? Amen? So she cries, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. She says, Lord, help me. See, her situation was really grave, because the word of God speaks that the strong man had possession of this woman's daughter. But the word of God says that when a stronger than the strong man comes and enters in, what does he do? He binds the strong man of that house. And she knew that Jesus was stronger than the strong man and had the power and had the ability in order to be able to set her daughter free. You know, I say oftentimes that whatever you focus on becomes the giant in your life. Whatever you focus, if your focus is on a particular problem, that problem will become the giant in your life. If that's what you think about morning, noon, and night, that is the giant in your life. But I wanted to just share in 1 Samuel 17, because what does the giant in your life do? Whether it's something really good or it's something that needs to move from your life. The giant presents himself to you every single day. At night before you go to bed, it's in your head. When you wake up in the morning, it's there before you. And when the Philistines, it speaks about in 1 Samuel 17, okay, it says he presented himself for 40 days, every evening and every morning. And what did Israel do? It says every time the giant presented himself, he ran away. The Israel ran away because they were greatly afraid. And it looks like David says, I will volunteer. I'll volunteer to go and to slay the giant. And it looks like he's bought himself a one-way ticket, right? Like, you know, this is done, right? He's like, from a human perspective, you know, this is not going to work out really well, right? Not a very good idea. But what does he do? His giant was the Lord, because he said, you come to me with all of this weaponry. He says, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, because he remembered how the Lord was a giant in his life when he faced a bear, when he faced a lion, and it wasn't a little cub, all right? It was a lion, all right? All right, so, and he had the victory. So if you want to kill giants, and this is something that always sticks with me, I hope it stays with you. If you want to kill giants, then hang around giant killers, right? If you want to grow in faith, then hang around people who are faithful and have gift of faith. If you want to be more prophetic or whatever else it might be, hang around people who are giants in those areas. In verse 27, we're getting close to wrapping this up. In verse 27, I think this was in Mark, Jesus says, let the children first be filled. I want you to just pay close attention to the word first. He didn't say, let the children only be filled. He said, let the children first be filled, because he left the door open for this woman. Amen? He left the door open. And what does she say? What does he say? That, you know, she talks about even a crumb from your table. She says, even a crumb from your table is sufficient. Isn't that the message? A crumb from your table is all that it'll take, right? But the Word of God says that he is the living bread, right? He doesn't just give us, he doesn't give you and me crumbs this morning, right? He says he is the whole loaf. He's the living bread that came from above. He gives you and me this morning the whole thing. You know, it's our poverty mindset that says we have to settle for just a crumb, right? Jesus says, and he spreads a table before you and me this morning and says, here's the whole loaf of good baked Italian bread, John. Okay? It's the whole loaf. So Jesus just is telling us this morning, right, that he is the bread of life that came from above. How many of us this morning just have a deep hunger for his presence? How many are thirsting for more of him this morning, my friends? It attracts his presence. Let's just stand. Let's stand before him.